Good morning. Good morning, everybody. This is Carl McIntyre, and this is the 4th of July, our Independence Day in the United States of America. There is a verse of Scripture around our Liberty Bell, and I'm going to take that verse for our devotional this morning. But first, let's offer a prayer of thanksgiving. Our Father and our God, we thank Thee for the land of the free and the home of the brave. We thank Thee for the gospel that has been preached in this land, for the souls that have been saved, for the spirit of freedom that has been inculcated into our hearts. And, O gracious God, we ask that in these days of peril and confusion that Thou will strengthen us, that we as a free people may honor the Ten Commandments and Thy moral law, and that we may act righteously, and that Thy blessing may be upon us. God bless America. We thank Thee, our Father, for this land and for all the abundance and plenty which Thou hast bestowed upon us. We thank Thee for our churches spread across the country, for those who came to this land from across the seas and opened the new world and opened the wilderness that we might have a delightsome land. O righteous Father, Thou hast been merciful unto us. Bless our President, our Congress, our governors, our mayors, our city officials, our judges, and those who minister righteousness unto the people. And we ask that in the making of our laws and the judging of our statutes, the great and glorious principles of liberty may abide. May our Constitution be preserved. May the Bill of Rights remain untampered with. O God, we thank Thee for such a heritage. And now, O God, in a special way, we thank Thee for giving us this 20th century Reformation hour. We know it's possible only because of this liberty, freedom of speech, the free exercise of religion. And as we speak on this 4th of July, we ask that we shall inspire in the hearts of all who listen a determination to preserve at whatever the cost this precious heritage of liberty. This we ask because Thou art the author of liberty. For Christ's sake, amen. Well, there's only one verse that we would naturally turn to in the Bible on the 4th of July. It is Leviticus 25:10. Every schoolboy ought to know this. Every American ought to have in his heart. These are the words that were inscribed on the Liberty Bell, tying liberty in with the Bible. These are words that every person can see when he enters Independence Hall here in Philadelphia and looks around the base of the bell. And here it is. Listen. Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. Beloved, that includes me. That includes you. This liberty was proclaimed for you and for me. Proclaim liberty throughout all the land and unto the inhabitants thereof. The thing, of course, that has thrilled me all through these years as we've thought about the 4th of July is that our liberty is inseparably tied in with this scriptural passage. Taken from the scriptures of the Old and the New Testament, our forefathers wanted this witness to liberty to ring in that bell. They wanted this witness to the Word of God to sound out with every clang for freedom. They wanted this glorious message to the God of Israel. It is His Word, His Bible. And this is identified with the freedom which we are to enjoy here in the United States. Nobody can deny that, folks. Do you think the day will ever come when they will want to scratch that verse of Scripture off the Liberty Bell? Do you think the day will ever come when someone will say, well, the Bible has been so discredited that we no longer want to accept it or to believe it? We must discredit and discount their appeal to the Bible. That was a part of the ignorance and the mythology and the superstition of that day when men sounded the note of freedom. Well, my friends, you and I are living in a day of apostasy, when men are telling us that the Bible can no longer be accepted as the Word of God. Those who scoff and mock at it call it a paper pope. They say that we Protestants who believe in the Bible have made of it an idol. They say we are Bible-olaters and use other such disgusting and uncomplimentary terms concerning the Word of God. But, beloved, you and I, those of us who do believe, belong today to that same company that holds identically the same position that our forebears held. We believe that God has spoken, that the Bible is His Word, and that this blessed text on the Liberty Bell should mean something in the heart and the life of every single citizen of this beloved nation of ours. One of the things that I like so much about the 4th of July, that it is one of the national holidays, that it is difficult for the radicals and the left-wingers and the pinkos to divert to some kind of internationalism. This is our day. This is our day of independence, when we tore ourselves away from the King of England and his tyranny in that day. We never want to have anything more to do with anything of that sort anywhere. And thank God that in this present hour, when we celebrate the independence and the freedom of this nation, we are in a position to cry out against this idea of communism, of totalitarianism, of collectivism, or any sort of idea that will tie up in a world government. Yes, we can be good neighbors to the nations round about us. We can assist them. We can help them. We should even be able to cooperate with those who have ideas of freedom like ours. But for us to enter into some kind of super world government and deny our sovereignty and take away our liberty and to permit some international agency to tamper with our freedom and to tell us as a free people what we should do with our money and our resources and with our power, such a thing ought to be unthinkable in the hearts of freedom-loving Americans. The 4th of July is a glorious day in which we can rejoice in our independence. Yes, I say we can cooperate with other nations. We can join hands with other nations in helping to defend the cause of freedom. But we do not want to have to bury ourselves in some kind of a super state and become a part of a world government that is being foisted upon us and is being promoted today, I am sorry to say, by many people within our own country. There's nothing wrong with our being free. There's nothing wrong with our being independent. There's nothing wrong with our being a great and glorious nation. There's nothing wrong with our helping those who are in need, so long as they do not tie our hands and limit our expressions of freedom or our freedom of action as a people. It is in this hour and in this area, my friends, that you and I today need to consider afresh the liberty and the freedom that is ours. Proclaim liberty throughout all the land and to all the inhabitants thereof. That's what the Liberty Bell says. Well, we would proclaim it today, right now. We would rejoice in it. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And what this land needs, my dear friends, is a new and fresh baptism of the old preaching of the old time gospel and the proclaiming of the Word of God. This word has authority. It has authority because it's God's word. God and His word are above the state. God and His power are above the authority of the state or the community. As it expresses itself in any form of social action, God must be first. And in order that God may be first, each man must be free to serve Him according to the dictates of his conscience. And this gives to us our concept of freedom, our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, all that we cherish as a free people. I wonder how many of you people have a copy of the Constitution, or rather the Declaration of Independence. We should have them both. Years ago, when I went into the Independence Hall here in Philadelphia for the first time, I got a copy. You know, it's this big scroll with these colors about it, but it has the actual reproduction of the Declaration itself. I first put this in my study, and then I put it in the hall of my own home, and right now it hangs on the wall in my home, and I see it several times every day. The Declaration of Independence. And there's a phrase at the conclusion of that declaration that rings again and again in my heart. And I hope it rings on this radio, too. It ought to be in the life of all of us. Let me read it. After the Declaration, let me say, after the Declaration lists these various grievances that the members of the original colonies had at that time, the Declaration says, quote, "And for the support of this Declaration with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor." End of quote. That is the seal and the conclusion of the Declaration of Independence. The one phrase that has been in my mind so much in recent days is that last word, sacred honor. Our sacred honor. Would you kindly tell me what's happened to our sacred honor today? Oh yes, we're willing to die. They were willing to die. Oh yes, we're willing to make sacrifices. They pledged their fortunes and all their properties, but how about this question of our sacred honor, our integrity, our standard of righteousness that's tied in and makes honor honor? It is this question of sacred honor which the communists have been making sport of in our world today. They've trampled it underfoot. They've insulted. They've attacked. They've done everything in their power to humiliate and to disgrace us as a free people. They defy and scoff at our sacred honor. Something of that historic spirit, beloved, something of that glorious loyalty to one another as a nation and as a free people is the need of this hour. And we must return again to it as an American public if we're going to preserve our heritage of freedom. And for the support of this declaration with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence. That's their statement. Here is a dependence upon God, the living God, a looking to God to deliver. They're looking to God to take care and protect these colonies as they have taken their stand at such a tremendous crisis and crisis. They did it in His name. And so they pledged to each other their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. Well, the Lord bless you, folks. There's something about that that burns in our hearts this morning. Is it in yours? We are still a free people. We can go out and celebrate, and we can be with our families, and we can have our picnics, and we can enter into these celebrations that are manifested in one way or another. And it's time for celebration, but it's also time for some very sober thinking in this hour of our great confusion. What are we going to do about this creeping socialism that ties us all up in some collectivistic knot? What are we going to do about these Marxian ideas and this Marxian virus that seems to beset us and gets mixed up with Christian ideas when they identify it with the kingdom of God? Yes, we need to think about these ideas. We're in a struggle, an ideological conflict, and the price of this conflict is the loss of our liberty. What are we going to do about these states' rights and the denial of our state rights and the reinterpreting of the Constitution and this judicial interpreting of the Constitution whereby little by little these things are whittled away and taken from us? I believe that you and I are facing in this hour an attack upon our liberty. And on the 4th of July is the time when we need to turn and consider afresh what it means and what it meant to our forefathers when they came and opened up this land in this new world. We as a people have all these freedoms, and we do not intend, thank God, to have them taken away from us. And we must be on our guards and manifest our protest at these judicial interpretations of some kind which slowly twist and whittle away the meaning of our freedom as we've known it and as our fathers gave it to us. We must keep our liberty, for in this liberty we have the freedom to serve God and His Christ, to worship, to speak, and to assemble, and to have a broadcast like I have this morning. Did you know that the pressures that are upon us today in one way or another, that they're all designed to move us over into some kind of system of collectivism? Liberty, liberty, she's being dealt with, she's being insulted, she's being trampled underfoot. We don't realize what's being done in this tremendous drive for an increasing bureaucracy. Oh, folks, when I look down at Washington and see it increasing in size and strength, this glorious capital of our nation, I know that greater government and stronger powers of government and centralized encroachments in Washington mean that we're going to suffer as individuals. And I'm absolutely convinced in my own heart that we as a people must resist the building up of a powerful bureaucratic power down in Washington, which will encroach upon our state's rights and upon our personal rights. This is our Independence Day, and we ought to resolve in our hearts that we shall not be a party to anything that's going in any way to minimize or to jeopardize our heritage of freedom. I know what it is to be free. I know what it is not to have the state police standing over your shoulder or some censor telling you what you can say and what you can't say. I sit here before this microphone and I talk to you freely, extemporaneously, out of my heart. We can express opinion in this country. We can give facts. We can debate. We can challenge. We can be engaged in conflict and controversy. And we can do it on the highest principles of integrity and of morality for the glory of God. This country was made by men who had such convictions. This country was built by men who were strong characters, men of individualism, men who stood out, and men who were courageous. I wonder what kind of speeches we're going to listen to today. At least you're listening to one of this character, aren't you? But there'll be a great many other speeches, and in many of them, I can assure you, there'll be some kind of a little twist. It's a smooth turn that we'll get. And we'll be told that the future of our liberty is tied in with the United Nations or something of that kind. And that's the type of speech that we'll get at the present time. But, beloved, as long as that United Nations has this godless gang of communists in there that can't keep the charter, you've got a United Nations that's violating its own integrity. And you and I live in a United States of America that has a constitution, and we're seeking to maintain the integrity of that constitution in this free land. Well, of course, nobody will get up and be bold enough to say, well, let's do away with our freedom. You don't lose freedom that way. Nobody's going to get right up and say that we must agree in the interest of world peace to relinquish certain elements of our freedom. Men aren't quite ready to be as frank about what they're trying to do with us. But there's a twist and there's a turn, and we must be able to detect this with a keen, discerning mind, a mind that loves liberty. Well, in the blessed providences of God, one of the listeners to our radio program sent me a poem. I have it here. I don't know what the name of it is, so we've just called it Operation Liberty Bell. There was tumult in the city, in the quaint old Quaker town. And the streets were rife with people pacing restless up and down. People gathering at the corners where they whispered each to each. And the sweat stood on their temples with the earnestness of speech. As the bleak Atlantic currents lashed the wild Newfoundland shore, so they beat against the state house, so they surged against the door, and the mingling of their voices made a harmony profound, till the quiet street of chestnuts was all turbulent with sound. Will they do it? Dare they do it? Who is speaking? What's the news? What of Adams? What of Sherman? Oh God, grant they won't refuse. Make some way there. Let me nearer. I am stifling. Stifle then. When a nation's life's at hazard, we've no time to think of men. So they beat against the portal, man and woman, maid and child, and the July sun in heaven on the scene looked down and smiled. The same sun that saw the Spartan shed his patriot blood in vain now beheld the soul of freedom, all unconquered, rise again. Aloft in the high steeple sat the bellman, old and gray. He was weary of the tyrant and his iron-sceptered sway. So he sat with one hand ready on the clapper of the bell. when his eye should catch the signal. Very happy news to tell. See, see, the dense crowd quivers through all its lengthy line as the boy beside the portal looks forth to give the sign. With his small hands upward lifted, breezes dallying in his hair, hark, with deep, clear intonation, breaks his young voice on the air. Hushed, the people's swelling murmur, list the boy's strong, joyous cry. Ring! He shouts aloud, ring, Grandpa, ring, oh, ring for liberty! The old bellman lifts his hand and sends the good news, making iron music through the land. How they shouted, what rejoicing, how the old bell shook the air, till the clang of freedom ruffled the calm, gliding Delaware. How the bonfires and the torches illumed the night's repose, and from the flame, like phoenix, fair freedom arose. That old bell now is silent and hushed its iron tongue, but the spirit it awakened still lives forever young. We'll ne'er forget the bellman who twixt the earth and sky rang out our independence, which, please God, shall never die. Doesn't that thrill you, folks? You know, when I'm talking along this line, let me remind you that it was freedom that made possible our coming with a program like this. The Lord just led me to open a broadcast and see if we couldn't discuss these issues as I saw them in the light of the standard of righteousness in His Word. And so we went out and we got a radio station and we began to buy the time, and more of you people had the freedom to listen, and then you had the freedom to send gifts, and you had the freedom to support the broadcast. And oh, how it's grown from one station until we've moved up and up and up, and now it's coast to coast and we're hearing it in Canada. And God is opening doors for us in order that we might speak up in behalf of our freedom, this concept of individualism, this concept of a representative form of government, this concept of free churches, this concept in which we take issue with sin and with tyranny, with modernism in the ecclesiastical realm, with collectivism, socialism, and communism in the political realm. And then we have the so-called welfare state. Folks, let us be free. Let us give an account of ourselves to the God who created us and to the God who redeemed us by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You know, when liberty's taken away, it's the freedom of religion that always suffers first and suffers the most. It's the tyrant that wants to crush those who, in their appeal to a living God, appeal to a power and authority beyond the tyrant. Isn't it wonderful that we can use a mass media like radio in this way to come in such a friendly manner and to deal with these questions in such a forthright and direct way? Someone writes me from Kansas City, and they're saying, greetings to you and your dedicated associates in this wonderful work. We want to have a little part in it. Will you have a part in it today? There's a hymn that we all love. My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride, from every mountainside let freedom ring. My native country, thee, land of the noble free, thy name I love. I love thy rocks and rills, thy woods and templed hills. My heart with rapture thrills like that above. Let music swell the breeze and ring from all the trees sweet freedom's song. Let mortal tongues awake, let all that breathe partake. Let rocks their silence break, the sound prolong. Our Father's God, to thee, author of liberty, to thee we sing. Long may our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us by thy might, great God, our King. Amen. God bless every one of you today. So long.
Thank you.